I didn't see it. There you go. Okay.
Well, good morning. It is great to be here with you this morning. And first, I'm going to introduce myself, and then I'll let Ron introduce himself, and then we'll jump into the material. As James said, my wife and I have been with Grace Chapel for 15 years. And just to give you a little background of me, I was born and raised in the Pacific Northwest. I was born in Washington State and in Wenatchee, Washington, the apple capital of the world. I love to throw that out because it's so unique. And the Lake Chelan, the area where they grow all of, you know, most of the apples that we get come from that area. And but I was actually raised in Oregon. When I was 3 and a half, we moved down to Portland, Oregon, and I was raised in the Salvation Army. So I was a Salvationist. My grandparents were pastors in the Salvation Army, and they called them officers. And if you were a member, you were soldiers, and we'd wear the uniform and all of that. I played in the band, played brass, I played the euphonium. Most people don't even know what a euphonium is. And if you don't, it's a small tuba. Kind of has a sound between a French horn and a tuba, kind of a mix. And I also played trombone, and we would go out on the street corners, and we would play, and then our pastor, the officer, would stand up on something similar to a soapbox and preach. And we did that, you know, and a lot of fun growing up. And then when I moved to the South, then I joined the Baptist Church. And then moved up to Huntsville, like James said, and went to Whitesburg for a while. I met my wife. She was born and raised in Alabama, so I got myself a Southern Belle. And and I actually took her away from her home state, which her parents actually forgave me for that. So I took her all the way north from Alabama, all the way up to Yankee Town or Yankee Country in Tennessee, which is not really Yankee Country, but from her parents, from the Alabama standpoint, I think they kind of look at it like that. I'm just kidding. But so we've lived up here for 15 years. In fact, it was cool. There was somebody that was like our spiritual grandfather or spiritual grandfather to our girls. In fact, he prayed over Barbara and I when we were trying to have children. And then Barbara got pregnant with twin daughters. And when he found out we were coming up here to Nashville, he said, there's a new church or a young church called Grace Chapel. It's a great church. You need to try it out. So the very first Sunday that we were up here 15 years ago in October, we went to Grace Chapel. We were meeting out in the school at the time. And it was like, Lord, this is where we need to be. And it was neat how God just made that clear that this is the place we need to be. And so we've been members for 15 years and absolutely love it. Our girls are now 16 years old. One has her license, and the other is not even interested in getting her permit. Thank you, Lord. So, but God's been good to us. They could both go to GCA, which is the school that's partnering with Grace Chapel that's here that meets in this building. So we're really blessed. You know, God's really been good to us. So it's great to be here with you this morning to share about God's love and our unity.
Amen. Well, as James said, my name is Ron Gonser, one of the pastoral care pastors here and an elder. Grew up in Southern California on the beaches, big time surfing and all of that, and worked for Southern California Edison out there, went to a Lutheran church where my dad would drop me off every Sunday and then pick me up when it was over till I was about a teenager, and then that ended. I didn't want to go there anymore, and just did my own thing and was surfing one day down on the beach, and some people came by and invited me to a concert. And I said, sure, I'm up for that. And little did I know, it was Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa. Ended up in the tent down there and heard Love Song and Mustard Seed Faith, and then found myself on my knees at the altar crying and asking Jesus into my heart. And so that was a blessing in my life, and I'm very thankful to God that He grabbed me when I was that young Took care of me ever since. I am a Vietnam veteran, and 97, my wife and I was an associate pastor of a church along with working at Edison, and I retired from the electric company and thought I was going to just continue as an associate pastor, but God was working in our hearts, my wife and I, and we both felt like we were to move, and we began to pray, and it was interesting because God said, I want you to move to Nashville. And I can't tell you how we heard that. It just was in both our hearts. My first thing was, where is Nashville? I have no idea. I didn't, except for Vietnam, I never went past Arizona. I mean, that was as far east as I went. And so I had to look it up. I'd heard of it, but, you know, I didn't really know anything about it. And so we prayed and felt like that's what God said to do. So kind of like the Beverly Hillbillies, we sold everything, packed up, moved back here, didn't know anybody, didn't have a place to live, didn't have a job, just came back trusting God. And in 1 week, we both had jobs, we both had a place to live, bought a home, and had found a church to go to. So all in 1 week. And it wasn't this church, it was a different church in the area at that time. And we were there in leadership for a while, and then in 2005, we both felt disconnected from that church. I don't know if you've ever felt that before at a church you're at, but we felt disconnected. We felt like, not that we were angry, not that we were mad, we just felt like God was saying, I want you to go to another church. We said, where? And we didn't hear. So we just said, okay. So we took a couple Sundays, visited a couple churches, came here, and when we walked out, we knew this is where God wanted us to be. And so in 2005, we started attending here and did what everybody does, jumps in. I encourage you to do this. Jump into a ministry. I jumped into the baby ministry, going in and taking care of babies because they were needing help in that ministry. And I kind of found it pretty good as a man. You got to play with them. And then when you began to go, you got to hand them off to the ladies and they would change the babies. So that was fun. I enjoyed that. So did that for a while, and then I became an usher and head usher in the center. And then one day, I don't know if you ever got a call like this, but I got a call saying from Patty, Steve's executive assistant, saying, Pastor Steve would like to see you in his office. And I went, uh-oh. Who did I say you can't sit there or you can't, you know, whatever. But I went in, and he had asked me if I had ever thought about going back into ministry, and I said, if God was opening a door, yeah, I would go back. And he got up to his office, walked over to the door and opened it and says, the door's open. So went into pastoral care at that time, which I love. And I'm with Pastor Rick Kua, and we, the two of us in pastoral care, just love on people, visit people, marry people, do celebration of life services. I just did my mom and dad's last weekend. Out in Nevada, they wanted to be their ashes spread in the Colorado River, so went out there and did their service on a beach out there, and the family was there and did the service, and then we all spread the ashes out there, and so it was a wonderful time to do that. And I know that I'll see Mom and Dad again, so I'm sure that they felt honored, and I know that I made them happy to do what their request was. So anyway, that's pretty much my story. Been here, and yes, I'm an elder here also, love doing that and just serving and helping people.
Amen.
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 All right, so we're going to jump in to the topics that we're going to cover this morning. The first one is God's love. So if you, what is it, to page 4? So if you turn to that, and just to give you a little background of this topic is covered, it's based on the story of Mephibosheth, who was the son of Jonathan, who was the great friend of King David. And it talks about how David, after Jonathan had died, had brought Mephibosheth in and showed him love and all the things that took place regarding that. And we would encourage you to read that scripture. It's, of course, 2 Samuel chapter 9. a great story of how King David showed Mephibosheth love, which demonstrates how God shows us love. And so this whole talk is kind of centered around that story. So we're going to go through each of these points. The first one is that God's love, it seeks to be demonstrated to anyone. God's love seeks to be demonstrated to anyone. And what's important for us to understand is that God, when He's always looking to show His love to His people, to His children. He always is looking to demonstrate it to anyone who is willing to receive God's love. And at Grace Chapel, that's something that really is so important to us. It's one of our fundamental principles of our church, is that as God seeks to show love, we are called to show love to anyone. And one thing that I kind of wanted to bring out is that God, from the very beginning, God was three persons, right? God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's one God. And this is a mystery of the church, mystery of the truth of who God is. But He was in perfect fellowship. And one of the things that I think is cool, sometimes people will be asked, well, why did God create us? And some to say, because He wanted fellowship. And that's really not true. God was in perfect fellowship from eternity at all times in the Trinity. But what God was, one of the things that God, He created us to be able to freely accept Him, but to show His love in that perfect fellowship to us, so that we could experience what God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit experience continually. And it's kind of like, one time I took my wife to the Oregon coast to celebrate my 50th. It was actually a couple years after my 50th. But we went there, and one night I went out to, I tried to get my wife to come. The sun was setting on the Oregon coast. And it was at a place called Cannon Beach. Haystack Rock, this beautiful rock, but all these rocks and a beautiful beach. And I thought, Barbara, come out and join me. And she was watching a movie, a DVD, and she wanted to hang out at the condo. And so I went ahead and walked down to the beach. And I sat there, and it was the most beautiful sunset with the smells of the ocean. And there was, and on the Oregon coast, people could have fires, like fire pits where they could roast hot dogs or just have a fire going. And the smell of that fire and the smell of the salt of the ocean and just the beautiful hues of all the different colors in this beautiful coast with the rocks and the sand, and just everything was the most beautiful thing, one of the most beautiful things I'd ever experienced. It was awesome. And the first thing I thought of is Barbara wasn't there to join it with me. So the next night I dragged her out to the beach, and we brought some wood to make a fire so she could experience that too. And that's the way God is with us. They experienced the most beautiful relationship in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and He wants us to experience that too. We can experience that if we are open to God's love. And so that's one of the foundations that drives us at Grace Chapel, so that people can experience God's love, that we can help demonstrate God's love to others.
That's it. I want to go to that beach. Number two, it says it saves the lame, the crippled, the drop, and the fleeing. Just like the prodigal son, when he came home and his father ran to him and hugged him, put a coat on him, kissed his neck, that's the Father that loves us and wants to save us from whatever we're experiencing in life, whether it be hurting, whatever it might be. He's waiting to love you, to put His arms around you. He's not a God that stands off. And that's what saves us, is His love. And so that's what we do to others. We love on them no matter what. I see the crippled and the lame come before me. I see the ones that are hurting, that have gone through divorces and passing of a loved one. But you love on them, hold them tight, tell them it's going to be okay. Tell them God loves them, and that's what the Father wants to do to us. He wants to love us all the time, and that is what saves us. He wants to save us from all of that.
Amen. Okay, the next one is God's love. It reaches to the barren places. And in the story of Mephibosheth, he was living in a place called Lo-Debar, which means no pasture or just an empty place. And that, in fact, very similar to what Pastor Ron was talking about, when we don't know God, we are living in a barren place. Some people don't realize it, but we're living in that barren place. And God wants to take us out of that barren place into life. And here at Grace Chapel, many of our ministries are targeting that very principle, like Celebrate Recovery. Mm-hmm. You know, people, when they're going through, we have strongholds in their life, they're in a barren place. And God wants to break those strongholds. And so we, in our ministries, we try to do, to help, through the help of God, through the ministry He's called us to help people be able to break those strongholds. You know, that's what God calls His church to, is to be able to minister to those who need help. You know, there's a quick story of course, you've all, I'm sure, have heard of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And when He raised him from the dead, if you look in the Scripture, Lazarus comes out and he's still in his grave clothes. And Jesus said, now you around him, help him take off his grave clothes. And that's a picture of what it's like when we come to life in Jesus. We still have the grave clothes on. Many that come into the kingdom, they still have strongholds they're dealing with. That's the grave clothes. And it takes others of the church, of believers, to help take that off. And that's like a Celebrate Recovery. What that does is to help them take off those strongholds, mm-hmm. to break those strongholds so that they can live and their life would be the abundant life that God calls us all to. Isn't that cool? God does that, you know, through His love. He wants us to help with others.
Number four says it removes fear. Jeremiah 29:11. God has His thoughts and He has thoughts and plans towards us that are of peace and not of evil, to give us a future and a hope. We have to remember that's what His love is. He loves us that much that He wants to give us a future and a hope. 1 John 4:18, no fear in love. Perfect love casts out what? All. Can you say all? All fear. There is no fear. No fear in God's love. And if we'll find ourselves buried in His love, all that fear that the enemy chirps in our ear, and this isn't going to happen, and look what this is going on, and that, if you just say, get out of here, my God is love, and He loves me, and I am in a perfect place with Him, and He takes fear away from me, no matter whether I'm going through the valley of the shadow or whatever, He's with me, He never leaves me nor forsakes me, and His love envelops me the entire time. So He removes all the fear from us if we'll allow Him. What happens is that chirping, if we listen to that from the enemy, then that's what's going to lead us, and that's what's going to take us into an area of being in fear again. That is not coming from God. God doesn't give us that.
Amen. So God's love, it also produces restoration. And that's a principle that we have to understand. When we're created, you know, Adam and Eve, they walked in perfect unity with God. And then when they fell, they were cut off from the Lord. And through Jesus Christ, we can be restored to that right relationship with God. That's a principle here at Grace Chapel, of course, that we understand that we've got to, that we encourage everyone to be able to walk in that full restoration the way God intended for us to live, mm-hmm. to live in that full relationship with God the Father. That even when we go through times where the locusts have eaten, like in Joel, have completely taken everything away, God will restore everything that the locusts have eaten. You know, you see in Job how Job was a man that loved God. And all the things he went through wasn't because of he did anything wrong. But yet then after he loved God in spite of it. And that's where we encourage each other as a body to love God. That's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And He is faithful to restore us to our place where he wants us, like the prodigal son. He was always a son, wasn't he? But when he came back, the father, he was not worthy to do anything but be a slave in his father's household. But his father said, bring the best robe and put it on my son. Bring the ring and put it on my son. And kill the fatted calf. We're going to celebrate. My son was dead and he's alive again. That's the way God is with us. So as a body, we want to encourage everyone to be in that place where they're fully living in the way God intends for us to live, in full restoration with him.
Amen. Number six, it brings secure adoption. Now, the word adoption is the one that you're filling in the blank, but I don't want you to miss the word secure. It brings secure adoption. You are being adopted into the family of God, and it's secure. No one can take you out of God's hand. You can walk away from it, but no one can take you. They can't pluck you away from God. You are secure in him. It says, in the application, I'm secure in God's love, whether I'm lame, barren, fearful, I didn't do anything to earn God's love. We didn't do anything to earn it. But just when a family, when they go to adopt a child and the child is waiting to be adopted and that child is now adopted into that family, that child becomes part of that family. You are part of the family of God. And a piece of that is Grace Chapel, because it's a body coming together. And if this is the place that God has told you, this is where I want you to be, like he did for us, then that's what you do. If this isn't the right body for you, you go find where you can be. But if you're going to be here, we want you to be healthy. We don't want you to be crippled. We don't want you to be lame. We want you to know God's love in such a way that you have been adopted into his love, and we want to show you that love here at this body, and that you feel secure in that adoption into his family.
Amen. Okay, God's love, it covers imperfection and lameness. And one of the things that we have to understand is all of us, every single one of us, is imperfect. We have imperfections that we think keep us from doing certain things that God even calls us to do. But God's love, it covers those imperfections. And there's a story I love to tell about Corrie ten Boom, who, as you know, her family helped the Jews, the persecuted Jews who were coming out of Nazi Germany. And because of that, they were found out, and her whole family was taken into German concentration camps. And Corrie and her sister Betsy were in one, Ravensbrück, and Betsy ended up dying. And when Corrie ten Boom, after the war, came out, she was called by God to preach the gospel, especially based on her experiences that she went through. Well, she was called back to Germany. She didn't want to go, but she was called back, and she was at a church in Munich, and she preached the gospel, talked about forgiveness. And at the end of the service, a man came up to her, and she recognized he was a guard at that concentration camp. And she remembered, everything came flooding back, and she's like, Lord, I can't forgive this man. You know, all of those emotions. And the man came up and said, Fraulein, thank you for your message on forgiveness, and that God would forgive me. And he put out his hand to shake her hand. And she was like, Lord, I can't touch him. And then all of a sudden, she went ahead and reached out, and she realized the Holy Spirit just came over her. And it was something she just was overwhelmed by. And she had the deepest love for this man that she didn't know where it was coming from. And she realized that even when she was unable to love herself, God, through the Holy Spirit, was able to love her, was able to cover over her imperfection of not being able to forgive that man. She realized, even when I can't love, God loves through me, through the Holy Spirit. And that's one of the things we want to encourage everyone who becomes a part of our church, that God has called every single one of us to ministry. Now, it may not be in the church, but it certainly could be. But at some place, and we can't say, well, I can't do this, or I'm not able, I don't have the giftings or whatever, because God, through his love, he covers any of those imperfections. If he calls us to something, He's going to do it through us. Mm-hmm. We have to be available. So we encourage everyone who joins our church to be part of it, the active part of the body, and to know that God's going to cover any over any imperfection that we may have. So we encourage everyone to take a part in kingdom work mm-hmm. here at Amen. The church.
All right. The second piece that we have here are the foundations in unity. And first I want to give you a little definition that I wrote down of unity. It's a oneness. All parts are in harmony. They're working together. So, number one, we are all equal in the kingdom of God. We were all in sin. We were all coming from different parts of life, but we're all equal in God's eyes when we come to Him as part of one of His children. We might have different ministries. We might have different giftings in our lives, but we're all one in God's eyes. We are together and we're all equal. There's not, you know, you go, well, Pastor Steve's up in the pulpit every week. We're all equal in God's eyes. It's just a different gifting. I couldn't do what Pastor Steve does every week. I wouldn't want to step into that shoe unless God called me to be in that shoe. So we want to find where we're supposed to be in the body, just as our body right here, and the scripture talks about the foot and the hand and can't talk to, be the best finger you can be the best toe you can be the, whatever it is, be the best you can be in the body, and let's work in unity together to continue to save people, bring them in, call them in, ask the Holy Spirit to come and introduce them to Jesus Christ for salvation. That's what we're to do. That's what our calling is on our life, is to show Christ in our lives to others while we're here. And because, we're all equal. We all do this. Our mission is the same, but we all have a different piece in the body of Christ. Find out what that piece is and plug yourself into that. I talk about it being like a jigsaw puzzle. If you've ever done a jigsaw puzzle, a big old puzzle, my mom used to do them. I used to love taking a piece and hiding it from her, and she'd get it all done and couldn't find that last piece. She needed that to finish the picture of what it was. You are all a piece of that jigsaw puzzle. Find where you fit on that jigsaw puzzle. Don't hide yourself. Find where you fit so that the picture is beautiful when it's completed. So find that place in the body here at Grace Chapel where you belong. God, what do you want me to do? What is my gifting? Do I sing? Do I drive a golf cart? Whatever it might be. Maybe it's holding up a baby and passing it off. You never know. Whatever it is, find out what it is and become part of it, because we're all equal in God's eyes, and He wants us to use the giftings that we have.
Amen. Okay, we are all given authority in Christ. We are all given authority in Christ. That's an amazing thing when you think about it, that as sons and daughters of the living God, when we accept Jesus, when we come into the kingdom, God has given us authority. You know, just like when Jesus sent out the 12 disciples in the 72, He gave them authority. God has given us authority to do the work He's called us to do in the kingdom. So here at Grace Chapel, we want to encourage everyone that is involved in ministry to know that you have the authority. God has given you spiritual authority. He's given us, and that's, it's an amazing calling, and it's a sobering calling, but it's awesome when you think about it, that we have given the authority to do what God has called us to do in His kingdom. And everyone, He's given everyone in the body the authority. He hasn't given Pastor Steve more authority than He's given somebody who's working with the babies, for example. He's given us all the authority in Christ to do the work. And that's one of the things that's so important as we're talking about unity, to encourage each other in relationships, to be also to be cheerleaders for each other, and not to promote ourselves, but to encourage and be excited when we see God working in other people's lives. Because we've all been given the same authority. So we're all that one in Christ. And so it's important to use that to understand and to be able to use that authority for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. It's all about Jesus. It's mm-hmm. all about the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
To use the authority God has given us.
Amen.
In the kingdom work.
Number three, the glue for unity is remembering what Jesus did for us. Remembering what Jesus, that's the glue that keeps us together, is what Jesus did, where we were, where he brought us, whether it's from a beach, whether whatever, where you came from, where he brought you in and made you part of the body. One of the points I highlighted on here that I like is remember to never treat others as if they do not belong, but welcome them to the family of God. People wonder why we do the stand up and say good morning to the person next to you or whatever. We're all part of the same body. Some people, they'll write us emails. I don't like doing that. I feel awkward doing that. Well, extend your hand and say good morning to somebody because we're all part of the same body. We don't want to alienate anybody. That person next to you, you don't know what they're going through. They might need a hug. They might need a smile. I've turned to them and they began to cry. And, okay, what's going on? And we make a time to just sit and talk. You don't know. So don't separate people and alienate people. One of the fourth point, remember God never wants us to cause division in a church. Never, ever, ever. So again, if this is where God's called you, become part of it. If it isn't, God bless you, and I hope you find where you need to be. I pray it's here, and I pray you find a spot to be in, and that you use those gifts that God's got, and you become part of the body, and you bless somebody else. That's all we want to do is touch somebody for Jesus.
Amen. Okay, unity is a reality we already have in Christ,
Amen.
Not something we strive for. So, in other words, when we become members of the body of Christ, we are, by definition, we have unity amongst each other. It's not something, okay, we're going to strive to be unified. We are in unity. And it's important to understand, and the only way that really works is if we understand who we are in Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. If we understand our identity, and that's something if you haven't talked about yet, you're going to. Our identity in Christ is so important for unity, because then there's no need to try to promote somebody over somebody else or even have that even come into our way of thinking. You know, we're all about the kingdom of God. And here at Grace Chapel, that's so something that's so important, you know, from the leadership on down, is to know that we are all called to the kingdom, that we're all precious in God's sight, that there's no reason to try to think that I've got to promote myself over anybody else, that we are all members of the body. And so like I said earlier, that we encourage, that we are cheerleaders for everybody else in the body, because we're all part of the same body. And if somebody rejoices, we rejoice with them. And to be able to have that part of the unity is just should be the way it is. And so that we don't strive to live in unity, that is who we are. We're called by God just to be unified with others in the body.
Mm-hmm. Number five, we all have equal, I'll say that again, equal access to the Father in the kingdom. It tells you in your notes, we're all citizens of the kingdom. We're all supernaturally fit together. Even though with our diversity and our giftings, we're built on that foundation with Christ being the chief cornerstone, and everything's built off of that. And I wonder what we might accomplish if we all would use what God has given us to further the kingdom of God. What could happen? We all have access. Steve doesn't have more access than you do. I don't have more access than you do. We all have the same access. It's how we apply ourselves. We're doing this series right now on how big is what? Your God. Your God. He's not asking as a corporation. He's asking your God. How big is your God in your life? How big is it? How much access do you allow him into your life? That's what he's asking us. How big is your God? What do you trust him for? How much do you trust him for? What we can accomplish and do, we all have the same access. So we have to identify what God's calling us to do and how much are we going to allow Him into our lives. How much access does He have into your life? Does He only have a piece? Well, Lord, when I pray and when I come to church, You have that much. But when I walk out these doors, I'm doing my own thing. How much access does He have? And we all have to think about that. What are we going to allow Him to do in our lives? I say, Lord, I want 150% of You in my life. I want to be overflowing with Your love in my life. What's in my life without You is nothing, benefits nobody at all. But with You, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's what I want to do each and every day and what You want to do each and every day. Yes, sir.
We're talking about unity and everything, and I can't help but what's going through my mind right now is out in our country and in our world, we are so disunified.
Yes, sir.
And man, when He comes back, it's going to be, it's going to be a revelation. You know, when He comes back here and gets us all together, it's going to be a revelation. It's hard to imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Our minds don't imagine what it's going to be like. We know what it says in the book and so on, and it's 10 times 10 over that. But when He comes back here and puts us all together, buddy, look out.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I mean, if you're like me and you're looking out at all the disunity that's going on in this country right now before this election, can you imagine doing that without Christ? Because my eyes are on Jesus. They're not on the two candidates. I'm not fearful for what's going to happen because God's got me. And whatever's going to happen, God's got my life, and I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to fear, as we talked about. So we look to Him, and my prayer is, Lord, come back the day before election. That's my prayer. Come back the day before, and I'll be glad. Yeah. I'm ready to go. But I want you to know, you do not have to fear. We see the disunity. People are in fear. People are saying things. It's just garbage, but that's the world. That's not us.
That's right.
We look up. Because our redemption draweth nigh.
That's right. In fact, that's a perfect segue into number 6. There is a difference between kingdom authority and worldly position. There is a difference between kingdom authority and worldly position. That's one of the things, even the disciples back in Jesus' day were confused about the coming of the kingdom of God. They were looking at it as coming physically in the ways of men, in the ways of the world, and not through the kingdom of God that Jesus represented. And we have to understand that the ways of the world, you know, Satan is still the prince of the power of the air here, just for a time that God has allowed him, but God is over everything. And we, as believers in the kingdom of God, the authority that we have and everything that He's given us is different than the way of the world. What we see, like in the election and all the disunity in our country and throughout the world, that's the world. That's a satanically influenced, how people are out for power, all those things, but that's not who we are. Mm. You know, in Jesus, He said the Gentiles, they seek after the positions of power and authority, but that's not the way you are to be. Yeah. You are to be wanting to be a servant to all. Mm. That's what God calls us to. And that's one of the things that it's so important that we focus on, that we are servants. Even those that we think that this whole thing about unity, God cares about relationship more than anything. And a relationship among the body of Christ is so important. It's one of the most important things to the Lord that we are in good relationship. Mm-hmm. And that's what unity is all about, that the body, that we have the relationships, the strong relationships, and that's what God wants for his people. That's why He said, the least among you will be greatest in the kingdom. You know, bring to me a child. That's the greatest in the kingdom. It's not about the way the world sees things. It's about the way that God sees things through His eyes, that we are to be servants of all. So that's so important to understand. And here at Grace Chapel, we want people to see, to become part of a greater thing, of the kingdom of God. You know, that it's not about Grace Chapel. It's about the kingdom of God. And that's what God has called us to, is to be unified, to walk in unity and in love. And so we're not like the world. And if the world, truly the world sees that, it's going to, you know, people who are really seeking the truth, their lives are going to be changed through the power of God through us. And yeah. That's what we want.
Yeah. Amen. Number 7. Division, jealousy, and selfishness undermine corporate unity. Division, jealousy, and selfishness undermine corporate unity. I highlighted number 2, using worldly methods in the kingdom will cause problems. They are not created to function well together. In other words, the things of this world and the things of the kingdom are different. They don't work well together. You've seen that when you've seen large ministries crumble, you've seen churches crumble, because all of a sudden God gets second billing and man's ways get first billing. That is not what we want. We don't want any divisions. We don't want any jealousies. I like what it says. Don't put people, that last bullet item, don't put people in positions because of their want or desire for success or to be seen, but for their desire and want to serve. That's what we want here, are people that just want to serve in a position. You know, whatever God's called you, make sure it's what He's called you to do, gifted you to do, and then let us know that you want to serve other people. That's the people that we, that's how you reach people for Jesus, is serving them, not promoting yourself or look what I do or anything like that at all. It's serving people and showing them Christ through what you do, whether it be, you know, we have a tremendous, wonderful staff here that makes these buildings look good every week for when we come to church. Nobody sees them. They're behind the scenes most of the time, cleaning carpets, cleaning walls, getting the dust off, setting up chairs, things in here. We come in and we enjoy it. And if I was to ask you who did that, you wouldn't even know. But you know who knows? God knows. Because they're serving God, not us. They're serving God. And people, well, I don't want to do that. I would rather do something. No, if God's called you to do it, do it. But do what God wants you to do, not what you want to do. And we're not going to put people in a position that it's because that's what they want to do and be seen and look at me, this is what I do. I want to be whatever God wants me to be and whatever God wants me to do so that I can reach others for Jesus Christ. That's what we want from all of you that are here. And that's what I hope you see here at Grace Chapel. If this is your church and you become a part of this body, I hope that's what you see. People serving others because of Christ in their life.
There is unity when we walk in kingdom authority. There is unity when we walk in kingdom authority. And that kind of starts to summarize, you know, what unity is all about. If we're walking in kingdom of authority, if we're walking with God the way He intends, we're going to be in unity. I mean, that's just, it's as simple as that. And again, that's what we encourage. That's what we want to see. All of the, everybody that's involved in this body to have their place in the kingdom of God, to be being used by the Lord effectively so that we're all walking in the fullness of Christ, and it's, the unity is going to be there. Mm-hmm. We don't have to work at it at all. It's going to be there. So that's why we want to encourage all of you as you become more acquainted with Grace Chapel and as you become part of who we are, that you walk in the power that God has for each one of you, the authority that God has for each one of you, so that you have that rich, fulfilling life that God calls for all of His children.
Amen.
And then that's what brings unity to the body. Isn't that awesome? And that's what God calls us to. He wants every single one of us to be 100% fulfilled in what we're doing. It's not going to be easy. Life is not easy. But if we're walking with God in the peace of Christ, then we're going to have that supernatural peace that we can't even understand, but it's awesome. Hmm. And God is, then we're going to naturally love each other, care, and want to see the best of everyone around us. Mm-hmm. That's the way God wants it.
Number nine, walking in unity, key word here, always brings a blessing. Walking in unity always brings a blessing. Just as our brother said, when you look at the country today, it's not in unity. It is a mess, and you don't see a blessing going on at all. You see exactly the opposite. But if you walk in unity, there's a blessing. Galatians 3:28, I wrote down, there is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. We're all the same. We all look different, but we're all the same in Christ Jesus. We're not promoting our own agenda, what we're going to do, how we're going to do it. The agenda we want to promote is Jesus Christ and His love for people, His dying love for people to save them. That's what we want to promote. I wrote down, we don't have to be the same, but we do have to be one.
Yeah.
We need to walk in unity and in God's love while we're on this earth if we're going to see people come to Jesus Christ. I don't want to stand before the Lord and know that I had the opportunity to talk to somebody, share with somebody, show somebody God's love, and that didn't happen. I don't want to have to do that. And so wherever it is, grocery stores, department stores, wherever you might find yourself, let Christ shine through you and be an attractive light. You know, a lighthouse sits there and it shows sailors where safety is. Be that lighthouse to somebody. Let them find safety in you because Christ in you can bring them to safety. Yes.
I think I was receiving that as a prayer. I'm sorry. I didn't to ask you anything.
Oh, okay.
You said I wanted to be blessed.
Amen. 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 Bless you. Be a lighthouse to somebody. Be that light that attracts somebody to safety. Craig.
That's it.
James. Huh? You have a question, James?
I don't like this minute. But does anybody else have any questions? Or do you
have
a
question?
Sure.
So you talked about unity and you talked about finding where we fit and getting plugged in. Does Grace Chapel offer any kind of tools or opportunities to kind of identify like spiritual gifts or maybe those areas
yes,
of
absolutely.
Service or ministry where
yes.
our best fit is?
When you go into step two and then into steps three, you will begin to identify your gifts and let God show them to you. We might think, well, I'm gifted to be the pastor as soon as Steve leaves, but maybe that's maybe that's not what it is. So in steps two and step three, you'll begin to identify the gifts that God's given you, and that will help identify where you get plugged in here at the body.
Fantastic.
Yes.
But we must wait for those steps, right? In other words, we can't be volunteering. It's my understanding that we can't volunteer to do things until we have gone through the steps one, step three.
That is true. We like to see people at least go through steps two. And the reason is we want to be able to vet people before we put them in children's ministries. And we want to get to know you. Coming just to this class, we don't get to know you really well, but when you get into steps two, it's a little more intimate, and you work with one another. We see how well you do. I know in here you break up into little groups, but in there you're really going to get into some groups, get into prayer together, and then, somebody's going to say, well, Karen wants to become part of the greeter ministry. What do you think? And that goes out to all of the pastors and all of the elders. And we say, boy, I know Karen. She's gone through steps one, steps two. She's done well. And yes, I believe that she'd be a great greeter. I think she'd do really well. We just want to make sure that we protect the people here. Unfortunately, you have people that do come in that are for a lack of a better word, not here for they're here for their own agenda, and we don't want those people face-to-face with our members and doing things, they're saying things that would cause division and not have unity, would cause controversy. That's what causes church splits. Anybody been involved in a church split before? Yeah, that's not fun. That is not fun. And so that's how that happens. So, yes, steps two is a requirement first. That once you get through steps two, because you'll be with Myron, and you'll be in steps two and steps three. You'll be with Myron in there, and I promise you, after a time with Myron, you'll say, "I surrender. I'll serve Jesus." Because, yeah, you'll get that, yeah. And you'll know what I mean when you go to see him. Yes.
I'm not trying to make this a
decision. No. No.
Here I am.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with thousands of children.
Okay.
And yes, part of my agenda is the love of a child.
Mm-hmm.
All of you pastors put together could never give me like a child.
Uh huh.
Okay. So yeah, that's part of my agenda.
Okay.
But also because I absolutely love children, and I really, really do, and I'm so comfortable with them, and I've just been gifted with that. It's like, okay, here I am, 67. How many years will I be 75 before I get accepted into that? You know, it just gives me, forgive me for expressing myself.
No, you're fine. No, no. That's
but
fine.
In some ways, what are you betting? Why, I'm not a, you know, it offends me. It offends me that I couldn't work with children.
I understand.
Because you don't know me.
I
appreciate that you look after the children.
Yes.
But there are people that run into this at this church already that know me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cry, but I'm offended.
Okay. Go ahead, Craig.
That is not a hard and fast rule. Now here's, but it,
and,
as,
that's the way I think it.
Okay.
And by the time that you tell me I'm okay, I won't be okay.
But
I may have my back hurting me. I may have deteriorated physically. Okay. I am sorry, but it's offensive to me.
Yeah.
I saw that you need children for the festival, and I said, why bother? I've already been told. I've got to go to step three and strip one, and oh, my God.
Well, that's what we do here at this body.
Here's
what's... And what you're telling me is that I have to accept that rule.
Yes.
If I want to continue to be here.
If you wanted to serve in the children.
Right to tell you.
Yes,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
You were wrong.
But absolutely.
Okay, that's all. Now it's
okay.
My decision.
Okay.
Right.
Now that I've expressed myself.
Sure.
Yes.
Now that I have given you something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
I've done what I think God told me to do.
Yeah. Good.
Be a spokesperson.
Thank you.
Because there could be a lot of people like me that feel offended.
Okay.
But then I decide whether I want to continue to be here. But had I not said something, like I've gone many years not saying something in this city about injustices that I think I see, I'm 67.
Okay.
And, now I've
and I'm 69.
I know.
Age means nothing.
You're a Vietnam vet, but you're in charge, and I'm the one.
I'm not
that
in charge.
To submit. To whatever.
At this body, yes.
Yes.
Yes, at this body, yes. Yes.
Yes. But I just want to tell you.
But I thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You know, then I decide whether I want to stay or not, and I already have decided that
okay.
I want to stay. So you have to live with me, and you have to live with me.
I'm glad I live with you.
Just like I have to live with your rules, you're going to have to
yes,
live
right.
with my comments.
I'm glad you live,
yes.
live here.
Yeah. And but one thing that I know that you appreciate, and for us as a body, the safety of our children is number one. And it's not that when people come in, we just want, if you already know people and they know, hey, they're awesome, they've worked with kids, absolutely. You know, we would love to get you involved in children's ministry. I'm not sure the details of what you've gone through, but as a body, number one, we're responsible, excuse me so much, for the safety of our children, and that we know that the people that minister to them have the right heart and love it, and are number one, God-fearing, that they're truly believers who want to minister, who are called to minister. We want that. We want to see those who are called be plugged in and be in the place where God calls them to be. But again, number one is the safety of our children. Yes, James.
Tom.
Just a quick comment.
Sure.
Sunyaka, we love you. You have a beautiful spirit. I think everyone in this room would agree with that.
Right. Right.
And I have a heart for what you're saying because I want to serve. And I've been around the church a long time, but I really appreciate this because the Lord wants all of these things. Everything you guys are saying is so on time. It's so true that God just wants us to just follow You know, pick up your cross, Tom, and follow me. And I'm not, by any means, I'm not trying to be offensive, but I can relate to that. And I know that when I'll follow him, and when I'm at the place where he wants me to be, which is going to be every step of the way, by the way, I'm going to look one day and I'm going to go, boy, you know, and just right down where the rubber meets the road, I'm going to be able to look and say, you know what, I'm glad that this staff followed Christ, because what if it was my child that they just, you know, just accepted whatever anybody said? It's kind of like out there in the world, you know, there are lots of good people in the world, but there are a whole lots of bad ones. And so we can't just throw a blanket over everything and go, let's just, hee-hee-ha-ha, because we've got to protect one another, right?
That's right.
You're right, Tom. Yeah. And the other thing is if I do it for you,
yeah,
or I do it for her,
yeah,
then I have to do it for all of you.
Exactly.
Because I can't play favorites.
So
we have to do it for everybody the same way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that'll save us a lot of grief down the road.
Yeah.
Yes.
I think it's also probably you want to make sure everybody's on the same page and
mm-hmm.
going the same direction.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you can vet somebody very quickly on safety and love of children, but we also want to make sure that everybody's speaking the same language and going in the same direction from a spiritual standpoint, which that does.
You're right, Greg. You're right.
Like you said, safety goes beyond just safety.
Yes.
It's communicating
the same message.
Right.
And this is the first step, this class. I mean, you've come here, you've decided to become part of the body, you're coming to here, you're finding out what the DNA is for Grace Chapel, and you're making decisions. Is this the place God really wants me to be? And if it is, then you will submit to what the authority of the church for here is for this body. Church down the street, you might be able to walk in and become a child care person immediately. So, but here, this is what we do, and so we believe this is what God's called us to do, and we'll stay with that until God changes that. Karen?
Back here.
Not at all about vetting or children's ministries, but just to share an encouragement. For my life, God uses patience.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's I'm stuck behind slow drivers or whatever.
Yeah, that's,
he always uses it.
Yeah.
If I had done what made complete sense and where I would have missed this, and that was okay, but this is better.
Yeah.
And so sometimes it's kind of like what seems maybe hurtful or insulting or impatient or annoying, or it's like, man, was that ever a great blessing wrapped up in a cranky package?
And I hope this is a blessing. I hope that doing this is a blessing. And you don't have to use your horn. That's what I hope. Karen.
I too agree. I think we all have this eagerness to serve right now, and we have to be ready until we're truly ready, even if we think we are. And I'll give an example of this, and I hope everybody gets to experience this. I'm not a great communicator like you guys are, but I'll do my best. This ties into this God's love. I was blessed enough because of another adult equipping class I've just taken here to experience narrow gate, and I don't know how many of you are familiar with it, but yesterday, and it's just almost, I don't cry normally, but we were there not to witness narrow gate. I don't know if you know much about narrow gate, but it's 18 to 25 year old men who are taken to out in about 30 to 45 miles away from here, and they give up everything. I mean, if you get a chance and can go witness it, please do. It is just touched my heart and changed me. Just to we weren't there for that, but these men come there. They give up everything. They live in a tent for several months out in the open and have nothing. They give up their cell phones. They give up their iPads. Now these are 18-year-olds in a world of cell phones and you know, internet. And then they progress. But as I walked around and talked to every one of those boys, you would not believe the love and the feeling. And they've been through, some of them have been sexually abused and physically abused and been through things that are horrific. But yet every one of them was kind and gracious and not self-serving. And everybody that worked there was the same way. And that's why I say, but the reason I'm tying this into this, one of the gentlemen that was there working said, because of my background, and helping Myron with the missions, if you want to be a missionary. I thought, oh, well, first of all, I have not prepared to be a missionary. I've traveled all over the world, but I'm not ready. But, you know, he planted that seed, like you guys are planting these seeds in us, and someday I might be ready to do that. But with all of your help, you know, and I'm open to that, until I'm ready, you guys are preparing me for that road is how I feel. So, again, if y'all get a chance, by all means, take that drive, coordinate it, go out and see this, because it is unbelievably awesome, you know. And so, and then, again, you know, I believe it's all brought together through you guys and through all this, what we're learning.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Yeah, and I'll wrap it up with this. Narrowgate is a ministry that we support a lot, and it's Bill Spencer and his team are out about 30 miles away. You'll see them if you come to, I think it's first service they attend. They'll be over in the left side of the church by the mirrored area where the babies go in. They're sitting out there, all these boys. These are troubled teens and older, 18 to 25s, that go through a screening to see if they really want to do this, because it's a six-month program, and their first 2 months is out in the wilderness with a pup tent and a Bible, and they're in a group, and they study all day, and they eat at a campfire. It's you know, and then when they're done with that, they move into what's called the bunkhouse. And they're there for 2 months, and it's a bunkhouse, and they're studying the Word, and they're doing chores around the property. And then from there, after that 2 months, they move into what's called the big house. And that's, everyone gets around the table, and they're almost ready to graduate from there. We have pastors that are here at this church that have graduated from Narrowgate that are now pastors on staff here. But you could go there and say, well, why can't I just go to the big house? I just want to start there. No, you're going to go through a process, and it's going to start here out in this wilderness, and let's see if you can survive that. There are many boys that don't survive it. They go, I can't do this. I give up. I'm going back to what I knew before, and they're gone. But if they'll stick with it and go through the process, God will use them and bless them. And again, they're pastors today at this church because they listened to God and did what was required of them, and made it to this point right here. So I say all that to say thank you. James, what do you do next?
What I do best.
What you do best. Button. What do you mean what you do best? You don't have any food? What are you doing? Huh?
No, that was good. We've got time for small groups, so we'll break into
do you?
That. But
okay.
Before we do that, you know, I was just going to mention, you know, people... And this ties into God's love. You know, my parents went to church. My wife's parents went to church. They were more diligent than mine. Her parents, I'll just say, wasn't not a lot of God's love going around. You know what I'm saying? A lot of church stuff, a lot of legalism. But BJ had an aunt and an uncle in Burnsville, North Carolina. Back in the holler, you got off the paved road onto a